It's always time for a little Temple of the Dog here.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. It's Julie Ginger with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. Right over there is Luke. We are coming to you on the southern swath of Wisconsin. I'm over here in Waukesha at 540 AM WAUK, as well as 101 FM, the Shaw. And you're listening to Luke over there on WTTN 1580 AM. That's in the Solidarity Realty Studios and also on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. Check us out on the Devil Radio app. And check us out at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY to join the political party here. Let us know what you think. We're going to move on to pushing forward back. I just wanted to tell you.
Pushing forward back.
Yeah. That's the name of this song, Pushing Forward Back.
The state motto of Wisconsin.
We are pushing forward back. Welcome to conservative land. Yeah. Do you want to be the folks in the right lane going super slow, or do you want to be the people in the left lane going a little bit over the speed limit and maybe getting to where you want to go? Do you want to be the people who have, you know, maybe just one sip of a drink and then that's, you know, feel a little bit and then go home and then, you know, organize your knives and spoons and then go to sleep? Or do you want to, you know, be the person that has a couple more than that and goes and enjoy yourself like a regular human being? My point is that conservatism is all about staying and not changing. And, you know, I'm all about changing because, again, the only constant in the entire world and the entire universe is change.
And taxes.
No, that changes too.
Some people just skirt their taxes now. So that's
there have been places, and there are places now. There are no taxes. I'm assuming.
Death, Mars. That's the other one. Death and taxes. There we
death,
go.
Those are the death. Certainties. Yeah.
Change and gotcha. Death then. All right.
You know, and again, if we get taken over by the white Christian nationalists, the good thing is that we don't have to die. So that's important. We'll legislate what happens in heaven as well. Next thing you know, we'll be selling indulgences, and that will be bringing us back. Again, that's ultra-conservatism there, when you can go and push us back towards, you know, the centuries before. Let's go Opus Dei. Hooray. But I want to let you know that the kids aren't really excited about this whole Roe v. Wade thing.
No, there was an interesting thing right outside your window.
We're sitting here 5 minutes before the show, and I'm like, I got to go. And just leave.
I was like, what are you doing? We're prepping for a show here, man. Come on.
Great job. I left my phone down. I just went outside. There were about 100 kids.
50 to 100?
Yeah, 50 to 100 or so. Walking down the street with signs, chanting and things like that. There were signs that had a lot of things I can't repeat. But they were saying things like, ain't no time to celebrate, separate the church and state. They were not happy about it. I mean, there were some older folks.
And Brian, let's let everybody know that you are broadcasting live from downtown Waukesha.
Yeah.
Waukesha, Wisconsin. That is where you are broadcasting live from, and about anywhere from 50 to 100 middle, or not middle school, but high school age.
At least high school age, if not older.
Okay. High school or college age.
That's what they look like. I can't confirm. I didn't get a run across the street. There was traffic and everybody. I was also kind of caught up in the moment. It was one of those like,
oh, that's happening right now.
Oh, when people get inspired so much to go and do that type of stuff, that really moved me. And it was one of those things that if you are, you know, borderline supportive or even remotely, like, that's the kind of thing that makes you go, yeah, there's going to be a lot more of this going on, especially going towards the elections. But I think it was great. I got to see a bunch of kids march, and all the power to you, kids.
There you go, man. And so in that vein, we're going to talk a little bit about a lawsuit that was filed yesterday by the Wisconsin Attorney General, Josh Call, with support from Governor Tony Evers, trying to clarify, Brian, because one of the things that Friday's decision kind of sets off from the U.S. Supreme Court is it sent it back to the state courts, or the state legislature in the states. So, like, everything is now going to be fought. There's going to be 50... separate battle, 51 if you want to count DC. I don't know how the territories of the US deal with this, but there's going to be 51 different handlings of how abortion is now considered legal or illegal in a state.
Again, you don't have to answer this right now, but I keep going back to this. How is enforcement going to work?
Prosecutors will pick and choose who they want to, you know, try to hold criminally liable for these things now, Brian. That's how it's going to work. It's going to be a patchwork. And one of the questions is, all right, well, Wisconsin has an 1849 law on the books that is almost a complete ban on abortion. But since then, since 1849, again, that's right when we became a state, Brian. That is the year after Wisconsin joined the Union.
That's a long time ago. Also, mm-hmm. were women also considered
70 people? Years before they could vote, and essentially they were just considered to be
second-class citizens.
Yeah. Didn't have the right to vote. They were subject to the whims of their husbands.
At least at the time, by being a second-class citizen, they couldn't possibly be held accountable because they were pretty much property. So, again, it was the people that handled their property that they would go after, the doctors.
Right. The physicians that would perform the abortions in 1849 were the ones held criminally liable. It was the legal language here in the state of Wisconsin, if we're going to go back to the 1849 law, isn't criminalizing it they're not criminalizing the woman like in Texas, where they're trying to put bounties out and saying that if you get an abortion after 6 weeks that you could be criminally held liable there. It's holding criminal liability for physicians, as far as we can tell. But this is a confusing subject, Brian, because it's 170 some years old and people are questioning, well, what happens about all the other abortion laws that were passed Wisconsin
according
since then?
According to conservatives, there's been no advances in medicine since then either.
Well, I don't know if that every single conservative takes that approach, but that seems what they're...
They call us libtards. They call us this and that. I'm lumping them all together because if you're still voting for them, at this point, you're not Republican anymore. They're not the Republican Party anymore. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, so the lawsuit filed by Attorney General Josh Call yesterday is trying to clarify the different abortion laws that have been passed in Wisconsin since we became a state as well.
Wait, there's been abortion laws passed in the state since?
Yeah, so while and I'm going to be reading from a piece here over at the State Journal, written by Alexander Scher. And the piece is headlined, Brian, Wisconsin AG Josh Call files lawsuit challenging near-complete abortion ban passed in 1849. Reading from the piece, while the 1849 law bans abortions from the time of conception unless it's necessary to save the mother's life, a subsequent law enacted in 1985, years after the U.S. Supreme Court declared abortion a constitutional right, only bans abortion after fetal viability and includes an exception for saving a mother's life or health. Fetal viability is 24 weeks, to let everybody in the listening audience know. If that's what you are going off of, fetal viability, doctors see that at 24 weeks, which was, I believe, I'm not a legal scholar and I'm not an expert in the Roe v. Wade court decision. And it was something that was taken for granted, I think, by a lot of progressive-minded people, that's just what the precedent was. And I believe Roe v. Wade had for 24 weeks, up to 24 weeks, a woman had the right to an abortion as health care. And so that 1985 law, Brian, Josh Call, the Attorney General of Wisconsin, essentially says that it directly contradicts the 1849 law. So... Yeah. He's trying to get some clarity. Both of those laws are on the books, and the Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin doesn't know which one. It could be either one or the other. Go ahead.
I was going to say, who put forth that rule? Who put forth that law?
So the 85 law, I don't know who was passed by that, but it's important also to know that there have been subsequent from that 1985 law in 2015, I believe. Governor Scott Walker and the Republican legislature passed a 20-week abortion ban. So you couldn't get an abortion after 20 weeks.
So
4 weeks
that
sooner
may push
than
you
the 1985.
Back. Okay.
So it'll be there is a question now of which abortion laws are going to be on the books, because the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade is sending confusion to the states.
So that's interesting, because all the reporting up until now has been that it goes right back to the 1849 law no matter what happens.
1849,
sorry. Again, either way, it's still before the other two laws that we're talking about, the other two things. Again, 2015, that was the Walker administration. So, again, Call is asking them to, could you, maybe go by the law that you passed?
essentially calls saying, hey, we're looking for some clarity. And so continuing on the piece, while there is no legal consensus on whether the 1849 law is still in effect, the threat of prosecution under the law led Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin to halt abortions in the state after the Supreme Court tossed out the protections guaranteed under Roe.
And by the way, side note, if you are in need of going camping, as it were, if you are in need of abortive services, things like that, still contact Planned Parenthood. They can direct you to how to get that taken care of in a legal and safe way that doesn't also put you in jeopardy for being prosecuted.
Yeah. Yeah. There are, I believe, 13 states around the nation that still...
We at least border one of them.
Yes, I believe two. I don't know what Governor Tim Walz is doing actually in Minnesota, but that's the problem, Brian. It is so questionable, so that you definitely have to ask the experts about it, because
I wonder if they're going to put that designation on maps if it keeps that way. Like, you know, you go to a map and then it, you know, has a little designation at the bottom corner.
It'll be interesting to see. I have no conservative maps would include that though, Brian, because
they don't believe in maps. So if you don't know how to go down to what used to be the old library, would then take a right there on the street that isn't marked. If you don't know that's Main Street, you're obviously not from here and you shouldn't be here. That's honestly another side tangent, but Wisconsin is one of the, at least the Milwaukee area, is one of the most poorly marked and labeled street areas in the entire country that I've ever been to. There's stuff that's just not even, like, there's no street sign.
Yeah,
I don't even know what street
it's
is.
It's pretty bad. It's just
or it's like, go
I'll
that way.
That. I'll give you that.
Go that way. And then you go down that way, and there's no more signs other than you're in an alley.
Or the road will change names, like, halfway down it as
yes.
well. And that's my one of my
And there's no update there.
And there's no update.
And you try and figure out what road you're on. Good luck with that.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That we just went down a little bit of a tangent there, but you can.
Yeah, but again, it speaks to you know why we need good governance. You need to actually have a functioning road system. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Wouldn't it be better to know which road you're on?
Yeah, that would be great. But if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent with us, you can join the conversation. 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Good afternoon. I'm going to take a bit of exception to what Brian says, and I'm going to make a point that actually on Saturday, James Santel also made in his show, which is language really does matter. These people, first of all, are not conservative. They are reactionaries. That's somebody that's trying to politically drive the entire country, in this case, Wisconsin being foremost in this situation, trying to drive us all into the past. But worse than that, they're doing exactly the same kind of things that fascists do all over the world, which is setting up their own court system and stacking the courts. They're refusing to step down from office when they've clearly been voted out. And, of course, they're stacking the elections in such a way that they cannot possibly lose. So these guys are no conservatives, not the modern Republican Party. And this is the biggest problem we've got, and from a national basis. The public seems to think that almost anything that's happening is the fault of the Democrats. The Republicans have done a great job of selling the people on that. And in fact, you know, for instance, the price of gas is a supply and demand issue. And that goes back to, I believe it was early 2020 when Trump negotiated with Bin Salman of Saudi Arabia and Putin of Russia to cut production by a total of 9.8 million barrels a day, which is about half what the
we are producing more needs. Oil now than we ever have in the entire history of us.
For the United States, and there's just not enough oil being produced by the other nations, and the OPEC nations are refusing to do it because they liked when there was not actually, you know, a global cop in the United States that was competent and had foreign policy that kept them in check when it came to human rights and things of that nature. But we appreciate your call, Jack. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got one more segment left in the day. Give us a call. We'll be right back.